voice right now. Clap your hands, all ye people. Somebody shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Somebody lift up a loud voice on a Sunday night. Mighty God, we love you, Jesus. Is anybody glad to be in God's house on a Sunday night? Amen. No place I'd rather be. So good to be in the house of the Lord, and so good to be in Birmingham tonight. Amen. I'm glad to be at home. We've been traveling all around and trying to do whatever God will have us do. But I think I say this just about every time. There's no place like home. And I don't just say that just to say it. There's truly no place like this place. You're blessed people. We are a blessed people. If you're glad that you go to church here, you ought to give God some praise. Amen. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles. We're going to go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. Very familiar passage of scripture we're going to read tonight. I believe God's going to help somebody tonight. I believe God's going to encourage somebody on a Sunday night. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 6. When you got it, say amen. If you need it, say wait on me. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, "For I am now ready to be offered." This is Paul speaking. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." We're going to read verse 7 one more time. I want you to repeat after me. Somebody say, "I have fought a good fight." Say, "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Amen. For just a couple minutes tonight, I want to preach to you on this title, Keepers of the Faith. Keepers of the Faith. If you would, put your Bibles down. Let's pray all over this house. Mighty God, we love you. Somebody stretch your hand towards this pulpit. Somebody lift up a loud voice right now. Somebody go to God in prayer right now. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Clap your hands one more time as you're seated. Amen. Keepers of the faith. The Apostle Paul knew he was about to die as he penned his final letter to his protege Timothy, who was in line to take charge of all the churches that Paul was blessed to oversee. He exhorts Timothy to preach the word, to be instant, in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He tells him that there would come a time when they would not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts would heap them to themselves teachers having itching ears. He tells him to watch in all things, to endure afflictions, to do the work of the evangelist, and to make full proof of his ministry. Then the man Paul shifts the conversation and says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Like the prophets of old, he knew that he was about to die, and he said, "I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." And as Paul begins to look back over his life, he recounts the highs, he recounts the lows. He would come to this conclusion: "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." He said, "I have fought a good fight." 1 Timothy 6 and 12, he encourages his son in the gospel, Timothy, to fight the good fight of faith. He said, "Timothy, this thing is a fight. Timothy, this is a big deal. You've got to be persuaded that this is a fight worth fighting. You've got to stand up and you've got to fight and contend for the faith." Does anybody's got a fight in their spirit on a Sunday night? He said, Timothy, you've got to understand this is a big deal. You have to be persuaded that this is a fight worth fighting. The Apostle Paul was persuaded that this was a fight worth fighting. But the truth of the matter is this, is that not everybody thinks that this fight is a fight worth fighting. We go to David, and David is tending the sheep. He's doing what he does. He's in his father's field. He's tending his father's sheep. He's doing what he did on a daily basis. And his brothers are off down in a valley. And there's a man by the name of Goliath that's tormenting the people of God. And David's dad tells him, I want you to go down to the battle. And he goes to the battle, sees about his brothers, and brings them some food. And David gets down to the battle. And you've got to understand, 80 times they hear the chants of Goliath. The Bible says from morning and in the evening time, they heard the chants of Goliath for 40 days, two times a day, 80 times. They hear Goliath chanting against the people of God. And David trots down to the battlefield. And when David gets to the battlefield, he only has to hear the chants one time. And he says these words. He says, is there not a cause? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would defy the armies of the living God? Is there not a cause? See, you got to get persuaded that this is a fight worth fighting. Everybody there, the brothers, the army, Saul, nobody. I said nobody was persuaded that this was a fight worth fighting. But David said, I live for God, I stand for God, and not on my watch. I'm going to go down to the battle. If I hear the chants of Goliath, I'm going to stand up. My God. But you got to get an attitude on a Sunday night, young person, that this is a fight worth fighting. You've got to stand up and say, I'm going to stand for truth. I'm going to fight for the faith. You got to get a fight in your spirit on a Sunday night. You got to stop letting everything push you around. You got to start making some decisions, and you got to start getting an attitude that says, I'm not going to be pushed around anymore, but I'm going to get a fight in my spirit. You got to know what you want. You got to know what you're fighting for. We live in a passive generation where everybody can tell you who you are and what you need to do. But I'm telling you, at New Life Church on a Sunday night, God's going to raise up an army of young men and young women that are not afraid to fight, that are not afraid to earnestly contend for the faith. You got to get something in your spirit. You got to get something so deep like David had when he walked down to the battlefield and everybody was acting like everything was okay. But let me tell you something. David understood everything is not all right. We've got a problem here. And David was able to identify the problem. He was able to identify when things weren't right in the kingdom of God. That's called taking ownership. David took ownership of the kingdom of God. I'm here to preach to somebody right now and let you know it's got to be more than your pastor's gospel. It's got to be more than your bishop's gospel. It's got to be more than your mama's and your daddy's. You got to get a fight in your spirit on a Sunday night. His brothers were warriors. They understood war. Saul understood warfare. But Saul's hiding out because Saul's afraid. But Saul's hiding out because he's not quite convinced that this was a fight worth fighting. He said, Timothy, fight the good fight. He says, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith. He said, I want you to just get an attitude in your spirit that this is a fight. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. Yeah, it's going to be tough, but I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Is anybody ready to fight tonight? Does anybody got something in your spirit that... It's an attitude. Paul's dead serious about the kingdom of God. He's telling Timothy, you've got to have an attitude about this thing. You got to get dead serious about this. You can't be passive about the kingdom of God, but you've got to stand firm, flat-footed on a Sunday night and say, I'm ready to fight for the gospel. This is the good fight. Is anybody going to engage in a battle? Does anybody think this is a fight worth fighting? He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would defy the armies of the living God? And he goes to Saul and he says, you know what? I'll fight him. And Saul's worried about everything else except what was standing in front of him. And his brothers, they weren't worried about the battle. They were worried about David's few sheep that was back at the pasture. But I'm telling you, David's not worried about the sheep. He's already taking care of business. And he's not worried about what type of armor he's going to wear. David is worried about taking care of the adversary that comes against the house of God. Taking care of the adversary that comes against the kingdom of God. Taking care of the adversary that comes against his family. You got to get an attitude today. Mom, dad, you got to get an attitude. Nothing's going to touch my children. Nothing's going to touch my family. This is a fight that's worth fighting for. And we know the story. He kills Goliath. And everybody's looking like, how did you learn how to do that? Where did you learn that from? I'm telling you, day in and day out, you can't just be ready to fight when it's time to go to the battle. You've got to fight on days off. You got to fight when we're not going to church. You got to fight on Monday. You've got to fight on Tuesday. You've got to spend time practicing with the weapons that you're going to use in the time of battle. Don't get weary in well-doing. Just keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. Keep on fighting in the kingdom of God. And Paul knew there's many battles that you can engage in. Paul knew what it was to fight another fight. Paul knew without a shadow of a doubt that I fought the good fight. He says, fight the good fight of faith. There's many battles that you can engage in. I'm here to tell you right now, they're crying in the street. People are fighting over politics. People are getting killed. Do you know people are getting killed over football games? You think that's funny in the house of God. But I'm telling you, some people are passionate about some things. And it's about time that the church gets as much passion as somebody has for Alabama football on a Saturday in the house of God on a Sunday and on a Monday when you walk into your job. You ought to be so passionate about the things of God. There's people in the street, they're fighting for all kinds of stuff. They're fighting for the wrong things. They're going to figure out that they're fighting the wrong fight. But I need an apostolic that knows that you're fighting the good fight. You're fighting for what needs to be fought for. You're earnestly contending for the faith. That's why our heartbeat doesn't beat with their heart. That's why we got a whole other world that we're engaged in, and we're just trying to pull them into the world that we were able and so blessed to find. That's why you got to fight for this thing. You got to go out. I'm telling you, the enemy is fighting as well. But I'm telling you, if the church gets an attitude and understand whose side they're on, then the church is going to have revival. All you got to do is step in. All you got to do is say, I'm going to fight the good fight. Second Timothy 2:3, he tells Timothy, thou therefore, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please he who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And so in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the warfare, living for God is not just a walk in the park, but living for God is difficult. And many people are going to throw in the towel. Many people are going to say, that's enough. Many people are going to walk away from the truth. Many people, maybe the fight is too difficult for them. But he told Timothy, he says, you've got to endure. He says, you've got to endure hardness. like a good soldier. I know the fight is tiring. I know the fight is difficult. I know the fight is tough, but fight the good fight of faith. Somebody's got to fight the good fight. You got to get an attitude that says, I'm going to endure. I won't give up. I won't give in, but I'm going to fight to the end. Does anybody know what I'm talking about on a Sunday night? It's a man by the name of Admiral William McRaven. And he talks about what you have to go through in order to be a Navy SEAL. He says they're looking for those who could lead in constant stress, in chaos, in failure, and in hardship. And within the first 2 weeks of training, a class of 150 dropped down to 42 people because it takes endurance to become a Navy SEAL. 6 months of intense training, long runs in the soft sand, midnight swims in the cold water off of San Diego, obstacle courses, days without sleep, always being cold, wet, and miserable. And then he says this. He says, but there is a brass bell that hangs in the middle of the compound for everybody to see. He said, and all you have to do to quit is ring the bell. He said, ring the bell and you no longer have to wake up at 5. Ring the bell and you no longer have to be in the freezing swims. Ring the bell and you no longer have to do the long runs, the obstacle courses. Ring the bell and you no longer have to endure the hardships of training. And he said, come hell week, when exhausted SEAL candidates reach their breaking point, he says they drag themselves to the bell and they ring it 3 times. And he said the sound echoes through the training grounds announcing that another candidate has given up. Admiral William McRaven said it like this. He said, whatever you do, if you want to change the world, don't ever ring the bell. I'm preaching to somebody on a Sunday night and letting you know, don't you ever give up. Don't you ever give in. You've got to endure to the end. Don't ever ring the bell. Don't ever ring the bell. Don't give up. Don't let... Woo! He said, if you want to change the world, don't ring the bell. Don't give up. It's moments of difficulty as we walk throughout this life, as we walk throughout this walk of God, that we want to give up, that we want to walk away. But I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost right now, don't you give up. Don't you give in. My God, don't you quit. You got to keep going. You've got to keep moving. Don't you ever ring the bell. When they hear that sound of the bell ringing, they know that somebody else had just walked away. And in the church, we don't necessarily have a bell, but we see people walk out on the truth. We see people give up. We see people ring the bell. We see people that say, I'm at my wit's end. I'm at my breaking point. I just gotta get to that bell. I'm here to tell you, don't you go to the bell today. Don't you give up today. God's got something for you. God wants to help you, but all you've got to do, he just wants to know, can you endure hardness like a good soldier? Can you fight when it's time to fight? When you get knocked down, can you get back up? There's some things about this journey, young people. You may not see it right now, but there's some things about the journey of living for God that are difficult. There's some situations that are difficult for even a Christian to walk through. And when you get to this difficulty, don't you think that God has left you, but God is right by your side. He just wants to know, can you walk it out another day? Can you get down on your knees one more time to pray? Can you come to the house of God for one more service? I'm preaching to somebody right now, you're on the brink of giving up, but God sent somebody here tonight to let you know, don't you give up. Don't you ring the bell tonight. You got to have some endurance. You got to be able to just hold on a little while longer. You got to be able to say, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it out of the chaos. I don't know how I'm going to make it out of the mess. I don't know how this is going to end. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to be standing at the end. I'm going to endure hardness like a good soldier. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to get knocked down a couple times, but you can rest assured, I'm going to pop back up. Rejoice not against me. Oh, mine enemies, when I fall. Come on, somebody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ought to clap your hands right now. You ought to lift up a shout of praise. He needs soldiers on the battlefield fighting for the Lord. Paul said, I have finished my course. Paul was on a course that was his course, a path laid out for his life. He was the only one on this track. You see, God gives us a course, and scripture likens it to a race. The writer of Hebrews said it this way in chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Everybody's got a race to run. Everybody's on some type of course. God's got destiny for you, and when you step on that course, you've got to finish it to the end. Paul's standing in a place where most of us aren't standing. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. Most of us are still in the fight. Most of us are still in the race. But he said a key word in the text. He said, I have finished my course. I have completed my course. I have made it to the end. You see, it's a test of what we talked about a minute ago. It's a test of endurance. Hebrews chapter 12 and 2, it says it this way, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Christ was on a journey. Christ was on a path. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ had a job to do. Christ had a mission. Stephen talked about it a little bit this morning. He had his eyes set like a flint, and he knew where he was going, and there was nothing that was going to knock him off of his course. He had to make sure that he got to the end. He had to make sure that he finished his course. And when he stretches his arms and dies, he says the words, "It is finished." A place where we're all hoping that we're able to die in the same fashion. Well, we can lay down at the end of the day and we can say, I've done everything that I can do. I've lived the life that I needed to live. We're striving. Anybody's striving for that. Anybody's striving to be able to say what Paul said. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Anybody's striving for that today. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Sometimes we got to come back to the word of God. And we've got to read those scriptures that we've heard our whole lives. And we've got to pull them down and put them in the proper context for our situation right now. I know you didn't need the word 2 weeks ago. But today you're in a situation where you've got to pull out the word of God. And you've got to read it one more time. Don't get weary in well doing. For in due season you'll reap if you faint not. If you make it to the end, you've got to keep on fighting. You've got to keep on going. You've got to finish the race. You've got to go. You've got to run with patience. Ecclesiastes 9:11, He said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We've got to get this endurance thing down. We've got to say, I'm just going to make it another day. God, I don't know how. God, I don't know what's going to happen. God, but I'm just going to stay in one more day. I'm going to make it to one more service. And God, I'm going to let you restore my strength. God, I'm going to let you help me make it to another day. Somebody's got to get an attitude today and understand that God is on your side. You think that's simple? But God is truly on your side. He's never lost a battle. When you put that in perspective and understand who's on your side, then greater is he that is on the inside of you than he that is in the world. You can do anything God says you can do. You can go anywhere God says you can go. You can endure another day. I know it's tough right now. I know it's difficult right now. I know you're in the fight. I know you're in the race, but you can make it another day. You can endure to the end. You can get there by faith. Got to finish the race. Got to endure to the end. Then Paul said something that stopped me in my tracks as I read this text. He said, I have kept the faith. He said, Timothy, after all that I've been through, he said, beaten with rods, lashed with whips, shipwrecked, stoned, and left for dead in prison time and time again, betrayed by false brethren, persecuted for the gospel's sake. Paul said, after all the fighting till I just couldn't fight anymore, after all the running till I just couldn't run anymore, I've got this one testimony. He said, through all the fighting, through all the running, he said, I'm still holding on to the faith. He said, I have kept the faith. He says, I got knocked down a couple times. I had to run a long race, and it was a very difficult journey. He said, but at the end of the day, when I'm looking back at the rubble of what my life is, and I'm looking back at everything that I did and everything that God did through me, and I'm looking back at everything that I had to go through, and I'm looking back over all the hard times, and I'm looking back over all the difficult times, and I'm looking back, and I'm looking back at my situation, and I'm standing. And I could say this one thing. I'm still holding on to the faith. They tried to jar it away from me, but I'm still holding on to the faith. I'm telling you, this is a big deal. I'm telling you, you can run a race and let go of the faith. You can fight a fight and let go of the faith. But there's something different in a man when he can go through hard times and when he can endure hardness like a good soldier. But at the end of the day, he's still holding on to the faith. He's still holding on to the gospel. He's still holding on to the message that was put in his hands. He said, Timothy, you're going to have to fight. It's going to be difficult. You're going to have to fight some battles, and you're going to get knocked down a lot of times, and it's going to be a difficult road. You're going to be shipwrecked. I was shipwrecked. I was stoned, left for dead. All of these things happened to me, but under the bottom of the rocks, I stood firm, and I held on to the faith. Yeah, I was down under some rocks, but I stood up, and when I stood up, I never let go of my faith. I never... I was holding on to that which was committed into my hands, to this treasure that I have in my hands. I never gave up my faith. I'm preaching to somebody right now where you're running a race and you're in a fight right now. But don't you drop the faith. Don't you drop the faith. You've got to hold on. You've got to endure to the end. You may lose some fights. You might not finish first, but you can have this testimony. I have kept the faith. When Paul's standing at the end of his life, he's recounting everything that he had to go through. And there aren't many people that we can name that went through what he went through for the gospel's sake. Oftentimes he stood in a Roman jail cell, chained to a Roman prisoner, as he penned letters to the church under persecution, just trying to preach the gospel, trying to do the things of God, trying to do the will of God, persecuted, beaten, hit with lashes and whips and torn up. And all of this stuff that he had to go through, he said, I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I don't hold on to anything else, I just got to hold on to the faith. I just got to hold on to the faith that was once committed unto me. He would further go and tell Timothy multiple times in the word of God, you've got to keep the faith that was entrusted in the inside of you by the Holy Ghost. You've got to keep hold of the faith. What am I preaching on a Sunday night? It may be simple, but if you get this revelation down at your core, you're going to be standing here when the dust settles, and you're going to be on the other side, and you're going to be holding up that faith that God committed into your hands. I wonder, do I have any keepers of the faith in the house of God right now? I wonder, do I have anybody that's ready to fight, but through the fight, you'll hold on to your faith? I wonder, do I have anybody that's running a race, but in the midst of the race, you won't drop the faith. I remember the first time we came to this church, 2838 Ruffner Road. My family was a wreck. I remember walking in the house of God, and I remember sitting down. I could take you to that church. In the, I guess, yeah, we call it the red building, where they had the hole on the side. I could take you to where we were sitting, and I was sitting down, and I remember Sister Corey came out, and she walked towards our family. She didn't know who we was. She didn't know what we were about. She didn't know what we were going through, but she probably doesn't even remember this, but she looked at those three boys that were sitting down on their pew, and she said, do you want to go to Sunday school? And we didn't know that our world was about to be changed forever. We didn't understand what God was trying to do in our family, and I remember walking into that Sunday school class, not knowing anybody in the building, but I remember walking up, and I would see Sister Birdie, and she was working at the front, and she would check us in, and I'm a 10-year-old kid, and I'm going through this, and I'm walking through, and I remember the teachers that were there and some of the kids that were there, and I remember going to this church not knowing that my life was about to be turned upside down. We walk in, and this lady that doesn't even know us takes us to the back. From that day forward, people start putting things in my hand. Just take this. They start committing the faith into my hands. She didn't know what I was going to become. She didn't know if we were going to live for God. She didn't know if we were going to be there for Sunday night. But she said, I got to make this deposit. And these three little boys, and I remember her handing us the faith, and I remember Sister Birdie taking it from there, taking us to the class that we would go to, and I remember in this moment, my world is about to be turned upside down. My world is about to be changed, and Sunday school left the Sunday school class. I'm telling you right now, if you're a Sunday school teacher, you ought to stand up straight on a Sunday morning. You ought to come prayed up. You have no clue who's being committed into your hands. Sunday school started putting some things in my hand. And Brother Warren, I remember Brother Warren would come to our house, I think it was every Tuesday, a little two-bedroom apartment in Eastlake, right up the street, just a rough part of town. Brother Warren would come every Tuesday and teach my family a Bible study. And he was, I always think about this now, that he was probably around my age at that time. And he's committing these things into my family's hands. And I didn't know what it was going to be or what it was going to do to my future at that point. You know, you're just a kid. You're just trying to sit in the Bible study and not fall asleep. But you just need I'm wide awake. You just need somebody that'll be faithful. You need somebody that'll just show up. You need somebody that'll just keep on teaching. You need somebody to say, I have no clue what they're going to do with what I'm putting in their hands, but I'm going to commit this to you, and I'm going to entrust this to you, and I want you to hold on to it. I just want you to hold it with the tightest grip you can have. I remember Mario coming to the house and picking us up and taking us out. I remember Jeff picking me up and buying me my first hat. I remember all of that, and I'm standing on the other. Because when we went to get the hat, I couldn't find one that fit, so. So I had to start buying kids' hats, you know. And no, I don't wear my son's hats. I've grown a little bit. I remember Dustin, Sunday afternoons, going to Dustin's house. I remember going to Fox Mortgage on Sunday afternoons, eating with the chorus and riding around in Dustin's big wheel at Fox Mortgage in Roebuck. And these people didn't understand that they were just putting some into a kid's hand and trusting some things into me. And I'm still running the race. And I'm still fighting. And it's yet to be seen. But right now, in this moment, I've kept the faith. I'm still holding on to the faith. Sister Corey, I'm still holding on to the faith. Sister Birdie, I'm still holding on to the faith. Jeff, I'm still holding on to the faith. Mario, I'm still holding on to the faith. Yeah, I got rocked sometimes. Yeah, I got knocked on my back sometimes. But you got to get back up and you got to keep on holding on. You've got to keep on enduring to the end. You've got to keep on fighting for what was put in the inside of you. And we've been through a lot. We've had a rocky road up until this point. And you fumble the faith sometimes. And as you hit that rock in the road and the car bounces a little bit, you lose sight of where you put your faith. But before you get out of that car, you got to make sure. I know I dropped it right over here somewhere, but I got to pick it back up. Thank you, Sister Birdie, for picking back up the faith. Thank you, every backslider that walked away, for finding out where did I put my faith. I've got to go back and find it. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for finding the faith. Now I can testify and let you know your work is not in vain. Your efforts were not in vain. Woo! Somebody ought to get a hold of that right now. A young person needs to get a hold of what I'm preaching right now. You've got to get an attitude that says, I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to keep the faith. Come on, somebody, clap your hands right now. Lift up a shout of praise. There are some things, young people, hear me today. There are some things that will try and jar your faith away. Things like inconvenience will try to jar your faith away. I'm holding on to the faith, but I can fight a lot better if I put this down. I'm holding on to the faith, but I can run a little bit faster if I put this down. I don't have to go to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, Friday, and inconvenience starts to jar away the faith. Hear me preach to you tonight. I'm telling you, you've got to get an attitude and a deadlock grip on your faith that nothing can separate you from. That nothing is able to separate you from your faith. You can talk about how much you fought. You can talk about how much you ran. But at the end of the day, if you're not standing there with the faith, you don't get to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've got to endure, but you've got to make sure that nothing is going to come between me and my faith. So there will be situations where you're just trying to hold on to the faith. And there'll be times when you're just trying to hold on to the faith, but then you'll start to realize as the enemy starts to get into your ear, when the enemy starts to talk to you, like, why are you wasting your time? You can get a lot more done if you didn't hold on to that faith of yours. You can get a lot more done if you didn't go to the house of God. You can get a lot more done if they didn't tell you how to live your life. You can get a lot more done. But you got to get that fight to rise up one more time in you. And you got to say, there's nothing that's going to be able to separate me from this faith that was committed into my hands. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to tell them about Acts 2:38. I'm going to preach everything that I know to a saint and to a sinner. And nothing's going to be able to take this away from me. It's in my mind. It's in my heart. That's why you got to get this thing deep in your heart. That's why I got to go from more than just head knowledge to getting in your heart. It's one thing to know the gospel. It's another thing to live the gospel. There has to be a point where mom and dad says, here you go. And you got to find your own way. And you got to get a relationship with God and get a grip on it that's so tight that you'll never be able to walk away from it. Because inconvenience will come around and try to rob you of your faith. And this will come around and try to rob you of your faith. And social media telling you everything that you need to do and you need to be will start preaching to you and try to rob that faith that you have. Do I gotta dress like this? Everybody else is dressing like that. I'm here to preach to somebody in the house of God that if you stop dressing like that, then they won't have a view of what it looks like to be holy. They won't have a view of what it looks like to be pure. They won't have a view of what it looks like to be a child of God. You've gotta just stay in. You've gotta fight the good fight. You've gotta have something rise up in your spirit that says, you got to have something rise up in your spirit that says, not today. Not today. This is the wrong day to come and mess with an apostolic. But when you get an attitude like that, then the enemy will know, man, they got a deadlock grip on that faith. I can't get it away from them. I can't jar it away. I've tried and I've tried. He said, you won't let me touch him. Put a hedge about him. You won't let me touch him. If you just let me get to him, then he'll. God will put a hedge of protection about you, but sometimes you got to learn how to put a hedge of protection about yourself. Your pastor will pray for you, but somewhere along the line, you got to learn how to earnestly contend for the faith. You got to learn how to get an attitude in your spirit and get something so deep on the inside of you that it makes you mad that the devil even wants to mess with you today. I'm telling you, I get so upset at the devil sometimes, I don't even know what to do. But I'll tell you what I'll keep doing. I'll just keep on holding on to the faith, and the devil can do whatever he wants to do. But at the end of the day, Jermaine Irvin's going to be standing with the faith still in his hands. He may knock me down. He may knock me out. But I won't let lose grip of my faith. I won't let go of the faith that was committed into my hand. But it's more than just keeping the faith and sitting on the faith and never doing anything with the faith. But you've got to take the faith and not live in a way where I'm so afraid to lose it. But you got to live in a way to where you've got it tucked away so tight that you can still fight the fight and not lose your faith. That you can still run the race and not lose the faith. That you can still do the work that God has called you to do, because this is so important. Because if we get so stagnant just trying to hold on to what we've got, then we won't grow. So God intended Paul to go to jail. God intended Paul to be shipwrecked. God intended for all of these things to happen because he knew Paul won't let go of the faith. Paul Saul's going to hold on to what I committed into his hands, but he's going to be productive with the faith. The music will come. Stand with me all over this building. Mighty God, mighty God. We're going to end with this story. A merchant sent his son to learn the secret to happiness from the wisest of men. The young man wandered through the desert for 40 days until he reached a beautiful castle at the top of a mountain. There lived a sage that the young man was looking for. However, instead of finding a holy man, our hero entered a room and saw a great deal of activity. Merchants coming and going, people chatting in the corners, a small orchestra playing sweet melodies. And there was a table laden with the nicest dishes of that part of the world. The wise man talked to everybody, and the young man had to wait for 2 hours until it was time for his audience. With considerable patience, he listened attentively to the reason of the boy's visit, but told him that at that moment he did not have time to explain to him the secret of happiness. He suggested that the young man take a stroll around his palace and come back in 2 hours' time. However, I want to ask you a favor, he added, handing the boy a teaspoon in which he poured 2 drops of oil. He said, while you walk, carry this spoon and don't let the oil spill. The young man began to climb up and down the palace staircases, always keeping his eye fixed on the spoon. And at the end of the 2 hours, he returned to the presence of the wise man. So asked the sage, did you see the Persian tapestries hanging in my dining room? Did you see the garden that the master of gardeners took 10 years to create? Did you notice the beautiful parchments in my library? Embarrassed, the young man confessed that he had not seen anything. His only concern was not to spill the drops of oil that the wise man had entrusted to him. So go back, he said, and see the wonders of my world. You can't trust a man if you don't know his house. Now more at ease, the young man took the spoon and strolled again throughout the palace, this time paying attention to all the works of art that hung from the ceiling and walls. He saw the gardens, he saw the mountains, all around the palace, the delicacy of the flowers, the taste which with work of art which was placed in his place. Returning to the sage, he reported in detail all that he had seen. But where are the true 2 drops of oil that I entrusted to you? Asked the sage. And looking down at the spoon, the young man realized that he had spilled the oil. The old man said, well, that is the only advice I have to give you. The secret to happiness lies in looking at all the wonders of the world and never forgetting about the 2 drops of oil on the spoon. I'm preaching to somebody right now and letting you know you just got to hold on to the faith. Be productive. Fight the good fight. Run the race that you're running. You're going to get knocked down a couple times, but don't forget to hold on to the faith. I wonder if somebody feels what I'm preaching right now. These altars are open. I want somebody to come and make a declaration to God and let him know, God, through hell and high water, I'm going to hold on to the faith. Through all of the difficult times, God, you're going to find me holding on to the faith. God, I'm going to be a keeper of the faith. Right now in this atmosphere, lift up your voice, lift up a shout. Somebody cry out to God. Somebody make a declaration to God that you're going to keep the faith, that you're not going to let it go. That God, whatever you entrust to me, God, I'm going to hold on to it. Let's pray all over this sanctuary right now.
You made a way and was standing here only because you made a way. You moved mountains. You called
faith. You've got to hold on tight to the faith. Don't ever let it go. Don't ever gotta maintain the faith.
Only because you made a way through mountains. You caused walls to fall.
Your power.
You perform miracles. And there is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here.
Only because you made.
Oh, you move mountains. And you cause walls to fall.
With your power.
You perform.
Everything's trying to take away your faith. You've got to fight for it. You've got to contend for it. You've got to keep a hold of the faith tonight.
Nothing impossible. And we're standing here only because you move mountains. You cause walls to fall.
God, I'm keeping the faith. I'm holding on to the faith.
And
you're never going to take my faith. Come on, somebody press right now. Somebody press right now. God's helping you right now. God's giving you strength right now.
For miracles, there is nothing.
Somebody press one more time right now in this house. If you haven't prayed, go ahead and lock in one more time. If you've got it all together, just let God know you're going to hold on to the faith. But if somebody needs strength right now, go and lend somebody your strength right now in this moment. Somebody needs your prayers. Somebody needs your faith to help build their faith. Somebody needs your prayer.
All over the house, why don't you lift up your hands to heaven right now and make a declaration, oh God. I'm going to contend for the faith. I'm going to hold on to what you've given to me, oh God. Come on, no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to be a part of the ecclesia, the called out ones. I'm going to be a part of the people of God. Come on, make a decision right now. God, whatever you take me through, oh God, I'm going to be standing when the dust settles. In the name, why don't you lift up a shout of praise right now?
Don't know.
Come on, somebody lift up a shout of praise. There's a victory in this house right now.
Don't know how.
There's victory in this house right now. Come on, take just a few moments and lift up a shout. Come on, you hear this devil? I'm going to be here. I'm going to be standing.
But you didn't. Made a way.
Come on, take somebody by the hand right now and just give God some praise. Take them by the hand and just magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. to turn it around for good in your life. Everything that the enemy meant for evil, he's going to turn it for your good. Clap your hands to heaven and give God some praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. What a wonderful word that we've heard in this pulpit tonight. Praise God. So thankful for everything that God is doing, that he has done today. I feel faith in this place. How many of you feel that? You feel faith rising up? Praise God. I'm thankful to be a part of the people of God. I'm thankful for anointed apostolic preaching. Brother Jermaine, thank you for preaching to us tonight. Praise God. It's going to be a good week this week. Praise God. God's going to do a work this week in your life and in my life and in the city of Birmingham and your family. So go with faith, believing that God's going to do a work. I believe God's going to fill some people with the Holy Ghost this week. Praise God. Praise God. The best way to contend for the faith is to take the faith and go out and use it. Praise God. Love somebody near you. Strengthen somebody. Bless them. Go in the name of Jesus this week. God bless you. You are dismissed in Jesus' name. Praise God.